I'd like to welcome you along this morning to the services in Newton Orange Free Presbyterian Church. On behalf of the interim moderator, the session and officers of the church, we're glad that you're tuning in today, and we trust that God will bless and be with us as we gather around his word. Now, in my own congregation in Crossgar, normally I will read a passage of scripture. And so I just propose to do the same today. We usually have consecutive readings in our own church, but today I want to read from the Psalm 42. The Psalm 42, and beginning our reading at the first verse. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And amen, we know the Lord will add his own divine seal of approval upon the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Let's still our hearts in the presence of the Lord afresh today. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we turn to thee in our Saviour's precious name. We thank thee for the opportunities afforded to us to come nigh to thee. We thank thee we come by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed there on the centre cross of Calvary. We thank thee for the one who is our Redeemer and our Saviour. We thank thee for the one who was rich yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And we thank thee for the riches that are bestowed through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for our Redeemer who bought us with that precious blood. We thank thee for the death of our Saviour and all that it means to our hearts. And our God, we think of the psalmist here who was cast down. We think of how he was discouraged. But Lord, we thank thee that his hope was found in thee. We can say like the hymn writer, My hope has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I serve the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. So our God, we pray that thy hand would be upon us. Bless the work and witness in Newton Orange. We pray for the office bearers. We pray for the interim moderator. We pray for every member. Thou dost know all about our needs, and particularly about the needs of the folk in Newton Orange. Lord, we thank that they're all known to thee. Thou dost know the end from the beginning. Thou dost know all things about us. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that thou dost love us all the same. And we rejoice in the mercy of God. We thank thee especially for salvation. Mercy to those that come and put their trust in thee. So Lord, bless and be with us. Remember us for good. We think of this year that we have entered into. And we are praying for God's outpouring of His Spirit. We're praying for revival, mercy in this incoming year. And we pray that Thou wouldst move in grace, even in the hearts of the unsaved around this town and district, that they might come and that they might find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Lord, we look to Thee and we pray for Thy blessing. Do us good as we seek Thee today, as we want to worship Thee. Remember the sick and those that are laid aside, those that cannot be out because of the COVID pandemic. But Lord, we pray that they might have that touch from Thee. We thank Thee for the one who cares for us and knows all about our troubles. So Lord, we commit our way to Thee today. We pray that Thou wouldst bless up and down our land, wherever Thy word is preached. Give Thy servants unction and power and liberty, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, again, we do welcome you into the broadcast today on behalf of the session and the interim moderator and the members of the church in Newton Orange. We are glad that you're tuning in, and we trust that God will bless the going forth of His word. Do watch the church's websites and look there for the meetings that will take place in the will of the Lord in the incoming days. But we want to turn again, as we come to God's precious word, once again to the book of Psalms. And this time we're turning to the Psalm 34. And we're going to read this time from the verse 1 again. The 34th Psalm. It's entitled A Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Verse 1 of the Psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. Again, we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite again, please, at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the psalm here. We thank thee for the sentiments of the psalmist. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his fears. And we thank thee today for the one who is our deliverer and our redeemer. And we just look to thee for thy grace and mercy, We pray that thou wouldst bless the going forth of thy word, that thy name might be glorified, and that thy word might have free course and be glorified in the midst. Lord, we look to thee, we pray for thy blessing. Shut us in with thyself, meet us at the point of our need. Bless thy word to every heart, for it is in Jesus' precious name. Now we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now I want to take a text today. It's verse 3 of the portion of scripture that we read. It says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now I want you to notice the title that is given to the psalm here. As we said, it's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. The reference there is to a trying time in the life of David. We read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 20, how we're told that David had to flee from Saul. By this time, David was the Lord's anointed. He was anointed king of Israel. And instead of faith, however, he is displaying fear. And he is in fear because of the strength of the enemy and because of the determination of the enemy. And he, instead of looking to God now, is fleeing into the hands of his other enemy, the Philistines. He goes to seek refuge in the camp of the Philistines. And he flees to Achish, who is the Abimelech, which just means the prince of the Philistines. He is the son of a king. That's what literally Abimelech means. He went right into the camp of the enemy. And for a time, he was received there. He was well treated by Achish, the king or the prince of the Philistines. But soon there arose a clamour and an outrage against him, particularly among the lords of the Philistines. And we find how that David now becomes afraid of what they're going to do. And it says in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 12, that David was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And such was the fear of David that he decided that the only way that he could escape was to act as if he was mad. And he began to scrabble at the doors like a madman, and he foamed at the mouth and pretended to be mad, so much so that we are told that Achish told his men that he had enough of this man and that he should be driven out. But this is what it means here in the title of the psalm, that is the time when David changed his behavior before Abimelech. And it's a sad event in the life of this man. But afterwards, David sat down to write this psalm. And it seems that David had learned his lesson to some extent. He had seen the fact that even though his faith had failed, that the Lord had still protected him. The Lord had still put his hand upon him and delivered him. And he thanks God now for God's mercy, even though he had failed, that the Lord's mercy was still upon him. And this is a great psalm of praise to God as he thinks about these things. And I want you to see that it's a poem here, really. And the psalmist is very careful about the poetry. He wants to do a good job in praising God. Every one of these verses in the psalm starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's very well thought out. And here he is doing his best to praise God. But in the midst of all of his praise, he wants us to join in the praise. He says in the words of the text, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And it's a verse that I want us to focus our attention upon today. It was a day when David recognized that he had been blessed of God, and he looked up above the difficulties that he was facing and all of the danger that was surrounding him, and he looked up to God and found his refuge in the Lord. And of course, that's what we need to do. in this day and every day, we need to look up to see the might and the power of Almighty God. William Hendricks one time took a survey of people who had left church and were no longer going to church, and he wanted to know the reasons why that was taking place. And he found that the most common reason wasn't to do with the music, or wasn't to do with the church facilities, whether they were modern or whatever it was, or whether they were comfortable. The most common reason why people had left church is that they felt that the church did not provide them with an opportunity to meet God. And you see, that's the vital thing, that in our church, that in our worship, that we direct our hearts and our lives and our gaze to the Lord. We look up. We are not looking at ourselves or what we are, or focused upon our desires, but we look up and we want to see the Lord. And that's why I want us to look at this portion of Scripture today, because we live in a day when many of God's people may have fears. Many may have been discouraged or downcast. Maybe you feel that there's a danger surrounding you as far as the world is concerned. Oh, how we need to look up. And this is what I want us to do today. And I want to take the words of the psalmist as a plea to every one of our hearts. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want us just to notice some of the things that this psalm has to say. Now, the first thing that I want you to see and understand here is the center of the text. Now, what is the center of the text? Well, you'll notice that it is the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So the subject of the text, the focus of the text, the center of the text is the Lord. It's the Lord that David is pointing the people to. It's the Lord that he wanted to exalt and glorify, and he wanted people to magnify. Now, notice what it says about the Lord. He is the one who is magnificent. He's to be magnifying. He is to be exalted. He's one who is exalted. And it's always good at a time like this to remember how magnificent and exalted God is. And you'll notice the way that David depicts him in this portion of Scripture. You'll see that David says that he delivered him. Look at verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I want you to see that David here speaks about his fears. In 1 Samuel 21 and 12, you remember how what it said about David when he fled from Achish. And it says that David laid up his words, the words of Saul's servants or Achish's servants in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So there he was in the midst of Philistine territory. He was very exposed, and he could hear the whispers that were being made against him by the princes and the elders of the Philistines. And it says that he was not just afraid, but he was sore afraid. And we have already indicated what he did, but instead of relying upon the Lord, instead of depending upon God, he thought that he could get out of that situation by his own cunning. And he devised how he would behave like the madman foaming at the mouth that we said that he did. This is hardly a situation that brought any honour or glory to the Lord's servant here. But maybe I'm speaking to someone, and in the onslaught of Western Christianity, in the midst of the atmosphere, the anti-Christian atmosphere that there is in this day, in the midst of the immorality and the sin, and the exalting of these things, and how iniquity has been placed at the forefront of society, and we have a government that wants to foist unlawful things, sinful things upon society, and where the expression of true Christian values is being not only undermined, but has been counted as immoral. And maybe today there is a fear in your heart. Maybe you've said, I fear for my children. I fear for my grandchildren, what it will bring. But I want you to see that it says that David was delivered from his fears. I want you to see that David here is delivered from this dread that he has. How did the Lord deliver him from his fears? Well, he did it by answering David's prayer and getting him out of the power of the enemy. You know, we recognize today that we have a God who hears in heaven, his dwelling place, and answers prayer. You'll see what he says at the end of the psalm there in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. We have a God who hears and answers prayer. And that's one of the reasons why we don't need to fear, because we can place all things in his hand. We can place ourselves and the future and the work of God and the witness of God and the meetings, we can put them in the hand of the God who hears and answers prayer. And we have a God who is able to deliver us, is still mighty to save. His eyes are upon the righteous, he says. And thank God for that today. And we can look up and we can see the one who is mighty to save. But you'll notice he magnifies David, the Lord, because he delivered him. But David can see something else. Not only had the Lord delivered him, but the Lord had enlightened him. Look at verse 5. He says, they look upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Now the they in the verse are the people who fled with David in the predicament that he was in at that time. And it says, they looked to the Lord, and the light of the Lord shone upon them and brightened the way before them. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of all, there was a light, there was a joy, there was a relief that was brought in the realization of the power of God that shone upon their faces in the dark clouds of apprehension. In the midst of the enshrouding darkness of the worry that was facing them, there was this light of joy and relief that entered in. They realized that God would light the way. Now, we have come to the start of a new year, and what better time for us to know that there's a God who can light the way before us in these incoming days. We have come to the start of this year, and we're still facing the pandemic and disease, and there are many people that are fearful about that, and maybe you are fearful today about that, and you're wondering what tomorrow may bring. But God is the one who lights the way in the midst of the darkness. Thank God he is able to bring things to pass. And there may be decisions along the pathway of life for you. And you're at a crossroads. Many decisions that need to be made. Maybe vital decisions. And the psalmist said this. He said to the Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord. He said, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. How we need the Lord to lighten our paths in this incoming year. And notice that when the Lord lightened their path and lightened their way, it says that they were not ashamed. That means that they weren't disappointed. Men, women, if you trust in the Lord and put your hand in his this year, you'll not be disappointed. Thank God that he brings us away that is good for the child of God. And surely that's something. We can thank God. We can look up and we can see that the Lord has delivered us. But the Lord also is one who enlightens. He guides us along the path. But then David is able to see something else here. Notice, look at verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. So the angel of Jehovah here is camping round about them. Remember how the Lord appeared to Joshua in Joshua 5 as the captain of the host of the Lord. And you think of the remarkable visions in Zechariah 9 and 8, who he comes as the angelic messenger. But he's the messenger who comes to encamp around the people of God. That's good to know, isn't it? As we face the incoming year. He's like a fortress that the enemy cannot penetrate. The enemy cannot come in by stealth. He cannot come in unknown, because God is the one who knows all things, and the one who protects us is one whose eye is upon all things and who knows all that is to take place. But it's interesting, you know, that in those days, when the military people would camp, what they would do is they would place the commander in his tent, would be placed in the middle of the camp, and then all the soldiers would pitch their tents around the captain so that he was protected. So you would say that the troops then were protecting the captain. But here it says the other way around. Instead of the troops protecting the captain is protecting the troops. And then how wonderful, as we think of what God can do. You remember Martin Luther went down into the depths on many occasions and was depressed and cast down as he faced all that he had to face. And in many times he turned to the Psalter and to Psalm 46. And he would say to his friends and to Melanchthon, his trusted companion, "Let us sing. God is our refuge and our strength in straits, a present aid, rather." And we think of how he wrote the hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the storms of mortal ills prevailing. Our Lord protects." But then the psalmist was able to say something else. Not only does the Lord deliver, and not only does the Lord enlighten, and not only does the Lord protect, but the Lord provides. Look at verse 10. He says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." We remember what the Lord said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Though dangers, troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us whatever betide. The scripture assures us the Lord will provide. You know, here the siren calls, the modern theologian and the church leaders of today. When you hear them, you'd think that God could not work today, that God is not the same. But God has said that he will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But not only does the Lord provide, but I want you to see that the Lord hears. Now, the psalmist is piling up this picture of God as he blesses and magnifies the Lord. He says in verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." And we have a God who listens. You think of in days gone by how hard it was to get into the presence of the king. You had to have a special appointment. We think of Esther, who had to have the scepter of the king stretched out to give her permission to come into his presence. But the wonderful thing today is that the Lord bids his people come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord actually, the picture is in the verse of the Lord bending down his ear to listen. Now, it's not the Lord needs to do that, but that's the picture that's given, just to let us understand that the Lord is, as it were, wanting to hear every word that we bring to him in petition. And surely that should bid us to seek him. Something else, the Lord comfort them. Look at verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit." My, what a wonderful thing that is. When we are broken, when we are cast down, when we have a broken heart, the Lord is there to meet those who are in trouble. Maybe you're in trouble today. The Lord is there to meet your need. And then he says something else. He says, "We'll magnify the Lord." Why? Because he redeemed me. Look at verse 22. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." And the best thing to know in our lives is that we've been redeemed, that our souls have been bought back from the slavery of sin. Maybe today you're desolate and cast down, and you've no anchor, you've no protector, you've no one to meet you at the point of your need or hear your cry. You're all alone. Well, I would bid you to come to my mighty Saviour, because he here is the centre of this text, and he ought to be the centre of your life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I bid you to come to him, trust in him, child of God, unsaved, whatever you may be, trust in him and put your hand into his hand as you face the future in these incoming days. So we notice the centre of the text, it is the Lord. But then look at the command of the text. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So there you have a command to magnify and exalt the name of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to magnify the Lord? Well, magnify, of course, means to make a thing bigger. Now, we can't make God bigger. God is already big. He is as big as the universe around us and beyond. So big, in fact, that the universe cannot contain the glory of God. God is immeasurable. He is unfathomable. God is bigger than anything that we could ever think of or imagine. Now, so how do we magnify him? Well, there are two ways that you can magnify something. You have the magnification of a microscope, where you make something that is very small look bigger than it is. But then you have the magnification of the telescope. And the magnification of a telescope makes something that is very large, something more like the size that it is. It makes it bigger to our view. It makes it more like the real size that it is. And the bigger the magnification, so the more the thing becomes like the real size that it is. And it makes something infinitely large that really is large. Now that's the thought that we have in magnifying the Lord, because the Lord is bigger than we can ever conceive, and the only way that we can magnify him is to make him large in our view. Because the problem is that very often we make God small. We have small conceptions of God. We think that God cannot work. We think that God cannot hear. We think that God cannot save. We think that God cannot move. We think that God cannot revive. We think that the situation is too hard for God. And very often we get to the point where we make God small in our eyes. No, what the psalmist says is that we need to magnify the Lord. We need to make the Lord bigger in our view, make him as big as we can, because he is bigger than anything that we can ever see. But we need to take our small conception of God, and we need to magnify the Lord. Well, how do we magnify the Lord? Well, we magnify the Lord, first of all, by making him bigger in our own view. We need to get that right perspective of God that we've been talking about. Paul said this, and he prayed when he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 3:10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We often make the mistake of underestimating God precisely because we don't know him. The more you know of God, the bigger God will be in your view. So the first thing then is that you've got to get that right perspective of God. You've got to make God as big as he ought to be in your life and in your conception and in your thoughts. But then there's something else that we need to do. Not only does the Lord need to be the right size in our own sight, but he needs to be the right size in the sight of others. We magnify the Lord by making our lives a magnifying instrument, by showing the greatness of God to those that are around about us, by extolling and exalting God, by being Christ-like and showing the blessings of God to those that are around about us. And of course, that means that we should act like a Christian should. There is no doubt that the world will judge the gospel and judge the church by the behavior of its people. The Apostle Paul called the Christians in Corinth epistles of Christ. That means that they were being read by the world. The world was looking at them. And when the world will not read the Bible and will not read the Word of God, it is reading you. And so we need to live in accordance to what God's Word says. Now you can be very sure of one thing, that many of the unsaved out there have often a better idea of how a Christian should live and what a Christian should be than God's people seem to have an idea. And we let sin into our lives and we become marred vessels and we let the spots of sin and the marring of sin cloud the magnification that should be coming from our own lives. And I wonder today, has your life been glorifying God in the past year? Has your life been magnifying the Lord? Have you been living in order to exalt Christ to those around you? But not only must we live as Christians should to magnify the Lord, but of course then we magnify the Lord by telling the story of the gospel. I think of the words that the Lord used to the Gadarene demoniac when he said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them the great things that the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." It was always the desire of the Lord Jesus and his followers, or that his followers tell others about him. And we, in the early church, when the Christians became refugees and when they had to flee, we read that they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And I am sure that it is your desire and mine that we might see precious souls saved in the incoming year. But the Lord has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, and preaching just means telling forth the gospel, it just doesn't indicate somebody standing like I am proclaiming the word of God. It is, we can preach in our ordinary conversation and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And we need to be telling forth that message to those that are around about us. We need to have that burden for the lost and those that are going down the road to a lost eternity. And we tell forth the message as we praise the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation 19 and 5, the voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." Are we magnifying the Lord as we praise him, as we preach his name, as we come to him in thanksgiving? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And let's start this new year with praise on our lips. So we see the center of the text is the Lord. Then we have here something of the command of the text is to magnify and exalt the Lord. But I want you to notice just something else, the concord in the text, because you should notice the little word together. He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." That is the context in which the praising and the exalting of God goes on most effectively together. And I want you to see the suggestion of unity there. We will do it together. There's a peculiar power. There's a peculiar force when God's people are united, when we're going forward together. We think of the force of that prayer meeting in the house of Mary Mark for the deliverance of Peter out of the prison. You remember how he was to be delivered from the executioner's sword, Herod's executioner. And the Lord brought Peter out of the prison by a miracle. And we're told that the early church assembled together. And so should we be. We should assemble together. We should pray together. Get into the place of prayer this year. Endeavor as much as humanly possible, when the doors are open, to be at the house of God, to do this together, unitedly. Get together with your troops, as it were. We are soldiers in the army of the King of Kings. And when it comes to the battle, if some of the troops are missing, then there is a breach in the line, in the troops there. So we need to be together. Not only is there unity, but there's the suggestion of harmony. If people operate together, there will be harmony one with another. And the psalmist says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's not only good, but it says, but it's pleasant. There are things that are good, but they're not pleasant. Sometimes the medicine is good, but it's not pleasant. But this is both good and it is pleasant. We need to be rid of everything that would mar the unity of the people of God. We need to make sure that we keep our relationships one with another. There are personality clashes and people that we might normally not get along with as well. But nevertheless, we as God's people, there needs to be that harmony one with another. There needs to be unity. There needs to be harmony. But then that little word together also suggests vivacity. Isn't it interesting how in Psalm 133, the psalmist likens the unity of God's people to that which brings life? He says, "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So he says that this togetherness, this unity, is like the dew of Hermon. Now, of course, Hermon is the highest mountain in Israel. Its moisture runs into the streams and the rivulets that flow into the Jordan River that runs from the north to the south of Israel and irrigates the land and gives the land much of its prosperity. And so you can see here that it speaks of life. There's a life that flows from this unity. And one of the characteristics of revival is the togetherness of God's people. When God wants to move, he will bring his people together. And men and women, we need the showers of blessing. We need the life-giving streams in these incoming days. We need God to step in mighty power and blessing. We need to magnify the Lord together. Oh, may God bring us together. May we exalt the one who is able to save. May we exalt the one who died on the cross. May we magnify the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, who is able to save and is able to transform society and make such a difference in the lives of men and women. Oh, let's magnify him together in these incoming days. May God help us to do that, and may God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the precious word of God to our hearts today. And we pray that we might magnify the Lord together. We pray that we might exalt his name together in these incoming days. We pray that thou wouldst direct us in this year. We pray that thou wouldst bless us in this year. We pray that thou wouldst protect us in this year and comfort us in this year. And we pray that we might have mighty blessings from on high in this year. Bless thy word right upon our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.